When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And on today's show, we have Kate DeAngelis. Hey, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys. Hey. Stoked to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Give our listeners who may not know who you are and what you got going on a background on yourself and how you got into photography.
Yeah, for sure. I'm Kate. I feel like, God, a background of how I got into photography. I feel like I'm sure everybody's like, oh, Lord. I've been taking photos for as long as I can remember, not in a way that was like formal in any sense, just to capture moments, like in middle school and high school, Polaroid was huge. So yeah. I was like begging for Polaroids for Christmas every year. I had like one of those walls covered in Polaroids in my room. So I feel like I was always taking photos and then like interested in capturing memories more so than feeling like I'm this creative person. With time, like, I got interested in learning more about it. All of my friends had taken photography in high school. So I took a photography class and I wasn't like super into high school. No. I like barely graduated, yeah. Like same. One of the bad kids. So I took a photography class maybe like junior or senior year, and the teacher was hella lazy and wanted like a bunch of TAs to do his job for him. So my first photography class, he was like, who else wants to be a TA? And I volunteered. So I hadn't even learned like anything about photography, and I was suddenly like the TA, like borderline grading people on stuff. Whoa. It was just like so funny to think back on. But so like to this day, I've really never taken a photography class because I was just the TA in that. So I never formally learned how to do what I'm doing. It's kind of crazy. I mean, I took like a tintype class during quarantine, which was really amazing. It was like I got to do a one-on-one class, but that's like all I've ever had formal learning. So yeah, that's like, it piqued my interest. And I was like really interested in all of it, but not learning a ton about it. And then bought a few cameras here and there, digital film, kind of like goofed around, but nothing really stuck. And then I noticed like I was like really hyping all my other friends up that were photographers or creative in San Francisco. Like many years later, I was living with artists and I like consider myself a pretty creative person, but I wasn't like feeding it in any way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I bought my ex a film camera who at the time was shooting like a ton of digital, and I was like, oh, you should try this out, like a birthday gift. And then I was on a bus home from where he lived going to San Francisco, and I was breaking up with him via text. And I was like, why do I, like, why am I kind of supporting and amping all these people up? And like, I, you know, I bought that camera. I was like, I should do this. Like, I should try and see if I'm good. Like, what the hell? So I bought, like, on the bus back, I went on eBay and bought like a little Nikon and just had knew nothing about it. And then I was living in San Francisco, like I said. So I just started taking photos of my friends and like my commute on the train, really just self-teaching myself. Like I didn't I didn't know what anything meant. Like I didn't, I was like, oh, if I increase these numbers, I can capture motion. Like I totally didn't know what I was doing. I just like was really enjoying myself. I wasn't involved in like social media, like on that front or anything. And like just fell in love with kind of playing around with it. I love like the idea of waiting and then getting those photos back. Like I know we're so used to like such a, you know, immediate gratification. Yeah. And I think I enjoyed that like aspect of it. So yeah, I fell in love. And then my then partner lived in the Mission, and they would do like low rider, like Salinas nights and like all stuff. So I started just taking like tons of photos of cars. I grew up, my dad's a mechanic, so I grew up like around super old cars. And then I was connecting all these memories from being a kid with like this old camera, and just like fell in love. Like I just, it started with like the camera and cars. And that's when I like started posting my work and was like, whoa, other people are like really doing this and like into this stuff. Yeah. And like, so, and that was really cool. Like everybody around me was like super supportive and like stoked that I was doing something for myself. Mm-hmm. That was creative. And I like definitely felt like I came to life a bit more.
It's so funny when you first said that thing about creativity, about how you weren't feeding it. That is such a like game changer. Like, cause you can be a creative person, but if you're not like feeding it, it's it's such a different experience, you know?
Yeah. I just learned how much of myself was like suppressed in that way, like and how much I like needed that as an outlet.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really cool.
That's awesome. What kind of camera was it that you got him?
Like a Nikromat FTN or something.
Okay, that's a good one.
Like, which I shot with for a long time.
Yeah.
And now I don't have anything special. I have a Nikon FM. Like
love the FM.
It is, me too. It's like the best, most reliable. Like I want five of them. I want to have backups. I have other cameras. Like I was listening to your guys' podcast, and I heard like a lot of people saying the same thing, which was funny. Like just having a ton of these cameras that are just, you found at Goodwill. Yeah. Like, you know, I have a lot of those, and I have like a Bronica Zenza. And that camera is really amazing. Those are really the only two cameras that I use because I'm comfortable with them. Yeah, and I think when you're comfortable with your gear, like I'm not a gearhead at all. I don't like geek out over that stuff. I just like to feel really good having it in my hands and like kind of ready to go at any moment.
You said something earlier when you were saying about how you were taking photos with the camera and you didn't know anything about what the numbers meant or what but it was just like, I can remember that time for me too when it kind of, before the big click and the social media obsession and the this and that, and you just get so wrapped up into it. But that pre-game you have is like one of the best feelings ever.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way to bottle and sell that. Like,
you know, it's so, you're like in this state of like exploring it. I wish I could sell it too, because when I talk to a lot of people now that are getting started, I like think it's so cool that there's so many tools and so many people to help and YouTube and all this stuff. Like, but it's so cool just like self-discovering and having no pressure, like putting no pressure on yourself. Like I didn't do that for anyone else. Like it was only for me. And that was like so cool. Yeah.
Man.
I know.
Feels like yesterday. Like, I'm just...
Same. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, this is like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think I'm at like 8 or 9. Yeah, yeah, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Man. So where? How would you describe your style and like where did it come from? Because I feel like it's very... like. I know it's a tough question, but it's just so freaking cool.
It is. It's so cool. Man. It's tough to put a I'm excited to hear this.
That's so nice. You know, it's so funny. Like I know I have a style, but sometimes I still feel like I'm figuring it out. Mm. There's a really big mix of things. Like there's how I grew up where I write about this in every bio about myself just because both of my parents really impact, like, I feel like how I shoot. So I grew up in this, like, gritty, it was like the middle of Arizona where my dad had the mechanic shop and it was like super old, like beat up European cars. And I would spend time like doing my homework in these cars while he was working on it. Like, and then, yeah, and that, like, he'd put me in the lift. I'd be like so stoked. But then I also, like, both my parents were working so hard, so I spent a lot of time in their workplace as a kid. So my mom was a hairstylist, and so then I was around, like, these, like, women and fabulous gay men and everybody just, like, glamour. And so I feel like that is a huge part of my style, is that, like, there's this grit and this, like, nostalgic feeling from when I was younger. My parents were also, like, grew up in the 70s and were in, my family's all from New York. Like, I was born in New York, and so they went through like disco hardcore and like like they were like at Studio 54. Like, my mom was like, I remember when Madonna was singing, and like,
whoa,
she wasn't anyone. Like, it was just, my parents like grew up telling a lot of stories about that. So I feel very connected to that time, like, as well. My take is a little more rock and roll than disco, but like, so it, like, I feel like my photos became like, came from that. So it would be hard to be like, my style is, you know, I guess like gritty with like some glamour, and then a lot of the 70s is like a huge part of my inspiration, like, for sure.
Yeah, you definitely get like a nostalgic feeling looking at your photos.
Yeah,
like, we were talking about it right before we hopped on here, and we always go to this thrift, it's like a antique thrift mall, and they have the biggest pile of old like 60s, 70s and 80s Playboys. Like, I'm not looking at them as a creeper, but that's just like, when I look at your photos, because I always just go and look through them, I'm like, maybe if something will jump out at, well, something will jump out at me, but you know, like, maybe I just love those old ads. Like, I feel like I could see your stuff in like those old ads and stuff. That's the feeling I get from that.
Thank you. That's so nice.
Thank you for putting in such awesome work.
Of course.
I have, like, I try to pull inspiration from people from the past, especially, like, it's a huge focus of mine to not compare myself to other people. It's, like, something I genuinely think about every single day. Like, how do I never, like, if something makes me feel that way, I just don't go there.
Right.
That's very smart.
Because like, that helps keep my creative energy high as well. Like, I don't feel burnt out as much as when I was looking at other people being like, whoa, like, I don't achieve that. Like, now I don't look at that as much as like these people from past decades. I have like a 70s advertisement book. I have like, I love a lot of musicians from back then. And like, when you look at those photos, I don't know, they're not in a little square on Instagram.
Right. It's real inspiration.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm looking at it being like, oh, I'm nothing like that person. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. They're on Rolling Stone. Yeah. Like, I'm not at that level yet. You know, like, it feels more authentic to me. I mean, no doubt, like, I have friends that are creative that inspire me in so many other ways. I just try not to get inspired from photography of people on the internet.
That's actually really great advice. I feel like a lot of people, like, I mean, we've all, I've like, unfollowed people just because I'm like, I can't look at your work because it's yeah. like yeah. whatever it's doing, you know, whether it's my creative process or like the jealousy thing we've talked about a million times before, but like, it's okay to do that. It's okay to like read a book or get a photo book or like listen to an album or like go to like a cool coffee place that's retro, like wherever else you can get inspiration. I think that's also very important. I think we forget about that a lot of times.
Yeah, for sure. I think I focus more on my mindset than I do the composition of my photos.
Yeah.
Probably sounds weird, but like I definitely focus on like ego. And so not only not to compare myself to others that might make me feel down, but also don't compare myself to others and be like, I'm better than that person. Yeah. Like right, just right, try yeah. to take that out of, and because I like really, really want everyone to succeed. Like my yeah. hope is that like,
oh, that's so sweet.
Well, my hope is just that I can kill it so much so that like, it makes people be like, oh, I can do that for a yes. living and be happy and sustain like a decent life and while being creative at the same time, because I feel like I don't have a ton of role models.
Yeah.
Or if any that are doing that in their life.
Right.
Like I just hear a lot of people like compromising mm-hmm. who they are for having a job to be creative, and I'm just like trying really hard to not do that.
Yeah, it's if you could come to a place where you can like say no to the work that's like, you know, not gonna feed that creative or like go vibe with your style. I mean, that's a great place to be. Not everybody can be there. I mean, I take jobs that I'm like, I won't use these for anything, and that's okay. But
totally.
If that can feed, you know, you have money now to do a creative shoot, like, you know, pros and cons, you weigh it all out. But if you're in the space where you're known for that's what you do, I think that's the best place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I worked for 12 years now in working toward money. I mm-hmm. did a lot, like I barely graduated high school. I never finished college. And so I just worked my ass off to prove to people that I like could make money, that I right. was a really intelligent person. A lot of my life, like when the pandemic hit, I was like, whoa, I'm doing a lot of shit to like prove stuff to other people, which yeah. is so weird. And like trying to climb this ladder, like trying to make a certain amount and like be successful before 30. I mean, part of it was empowering, right? I'm like a woman and I'm yeah. like, I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting to that six figure. And like, yeah. I felt like really proud of myself. But then once I got there, I was like, this is pretty empty. I'm spending yeah. so much time at yeah. work. Like,
yeah.
So I just quit, you know, my job of 8 years and
like, goodbye.
I literally like they moved me to New York and I was on contract, and the day my contract was up, I quit.
Wow.
And yeah, pretty crazy. Like crazy. I was just, I also like, I mean, from a reality standpoint, was like putting money aside because I knew I wanted to do that. You know what I mean? And so, and I was working so much. I had all these vacation hours to cash out because I wasn't using them. Like, yeah. So I did have a cushion to do that. But when you do that, like, it just lights a fire under you you're like, I mean, what's more motivating than being like, I'm leaving all of this behind.
Right.
Like, gotta make something work, you know?
Yeah.
But I try not to put too much pressure on myself. And I am down to turn away jobs that don't feel really good. Or even more so, like, if I feel like someone's values don't line right. up with me, or I don't vibe with a person, like, you know, I don't want to really do the shoot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably sounds crazy, but it's been working out, you know?
Yeah. And you got to have
boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. You got to set limits, man, yeah. because it's so easy. I'm a yes man. I mean, yeah. It's anybody, hey, I'm moving on Saturday. You want to help me? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, of course. No. But like, that's one thing that I promised myself I would get better at. And just yeah. hearing your empowerment here talking about all this stuff, I'm just aww. Like, oh yeah, I can do this. I can do yeah. I mean, no. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can say no.
Yeah. I definitely wake up and try to think about what I want, what energy I want to attract me. I probably sound like a hippie, but
no, I love it.
Yeah. I just think about what I want to come to me And, you know, I was like, I really want to shoot musicians. Like, music yes. inspires every shoot I do. And then it's like musician, musician, musician emailing me. And I'm like, what? Like, yes. I just, you know, like I said, I definitely really dive into my mindset and where I'm at. And the moment I stop comparing myself, the moment I stop just being like, I'm trying to pay my rent. Like, yeah. the moment I just got rid of that stuff and was like, I'm going to create stuff and hopefully it inspires people to want to pay for it. Like, it started working out. Like, it actually yeah. started working wow. for me.
Where do a lot of your clients come from? Do you get a lot of stuff through, like, your Instagram or through other connections you've already made?
Yeah. So, funny enough, when I never shot portraits till 6 months ago.
That's crazy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, when I decided, I was like, if I'm going to do this for a job, I can't just, like, sell prints. Like, I probably need to be, like, a service. So, I decided I was going to try out portraits, and if it didn't go well, like, no big deal, but I should just try. And so I actually went on Tinder, which my partner was like, go for it. Like, put that you're, you know, in a relationship and not looking to date. But I went on Tinder, and I'm queer, so it was just, like, all queer people. And my bio was just kind of like, I want to take people's portraits. Like,
whoa, that's so
you know,
cool.
If you're down to do that, let me know. And people in Portland are, like, very good looking and queer everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, what? I didn't know that, right?
The person you have a photo of is, like, so freaking cool. I'm like, yeah. Damn.
Like, what? So I did, I told myself I'd do 5 free shoots and invest the money into that and see how I did. So I started off doing shoots like that. Like, the first 3 I think I did were outside, and then I set up, like, a makeshift studio in my living room.
Yes, been there.
Yeah, like, so funny to look back on. And, yeah, then I did those 5 shoots, and I asked for feedback from all of them. Like, how was it to work with me?
Cool.
How did you feel about the photos when you saw them? Like, just all of these things. I also told all of them, like, this is what I want to do for a living. So if people reach out and want to know who shot you, like, I will be charging in the future.
Yeah,
I was just, like, really transparent with
smart,
people.
Yeah.
And, like, building relationships with them. And then someone I photographed, you know, gave me the feedback and was like, I've never felt more seen in my gender and, like,
wow.
who I am. And I was like, okay. Okay,
yeah.
Like, I started believing in myself once it was, like, the emotional component was there, too. Like,
right.
once people were stoked and felt really good about themselves in the photo. So then I started just kind of throwing it up on Instagram. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I posted a photo of myself and just said, I'm now going to be, like, a photographer for
yes.
work.
Nice.
And everybody was super supportive, and I immediately had, like, a few people reach out, and then it seemed to be a rolling word of mouth. And now occasionally I will throw up on my story or something that I'm looking to do shoots, and I'll write, like, you know, I want to shoot a drag queen, or I want to shoot a musician, or I'll write something like that to try to, like, manifest those clients to come to me as well. But the next step is, like, being a little more proactive. So I've been working on, like, a zine portfolio, a digital one to send to record labels because I want to shoot bands. But for right now, it's kind of being, like, it feels very natural in, like, who's coming to me. And for the most part, it's been people who I'm also, like, so down to shoot. So it's been cool,
So are you all film now, or do you mix? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'm only film. I don't even own a digital camera.
I mean, your Instagram handle is, like, a tell, but I was like, maybe I'll just double check.
You know what's funny? I did a consultation for the brand that I worked for prior, which is funny. I did a consultation, and I was like, you know, I only shoot film, right? And he was like, only film?
Yeah.
And, like, I really don't, I'm not at the point, like, maybe I'll get a digital camera if there was this insane, like, I don't know, I needed to shoot like a band playing. I don't know.
Right.
But right now I'm just at the point where like I really want to honor my own work and I don't want to just like switch over just because. Like,
right.
Yeah. I'm like staying far away from that. I just don't want to hold a shutter down and have like 1,000 photos to come through. Like, that's so not my vibe.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. Did I tell the story on the show already? It might have. I was on a
Let's
job where it was a new camera and I shot way too many photos and I felt really bad about it after. I was like, this is why I like film, so that I don't have to run into this problem where I hand over like 100 gigs of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I like every aspect of shooting film. Even in the beginning, I would just get so excited. I would take a lot of photos and my partner would be like, you're not breathing. Like, I can see that you're breathing.
Yikes.
And so now I like breathe out and hit the shutter and I take my time and, you know, I communicate with like clients that I might have. Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just firing off and I can't show you what you look like either, but there's kind of this aspect, it just feels good doing that. Like, I'm not showing them what they look like and letting them kind of be themselves and be, like, free in that way.
It does, like, I feel like, take everybody's mind off of it, you know?
Totally.
Because I've, you know, shot headshots and things where, can I see? It's like, this is wasting too much. Like, let's just buy. Let's like, do the thing, you know?
Yeah.
I had a... like an engagement session with a photographer when we got married and she didn't, like, I didn't ask because I knew I didn't want to see. I was just trusting her, but I'm sure clients ask her like, can I see? And I don't I think she would have been like, no, like, you'll see at the end or you'll see when I hand over. But yeah, film, you're like, nope, sorry, can't.
I can't show
you
about
it.
I've like occasionally, I've dealt with a lot of people who don't feel comfortable but really want to have their photos taken. And so I seriously have like a list of things I try. Like, I have them put on their own music.
Yeah.
Like, I bring a speaker. Smart. I've had someone where I put a mirror in the back of my studio so they could see themselves because some people do need that. But that didn't really interrupt me in terms of photography or, you know, like, I've had someone read a poem they like wrote and then put it down and photograph their emotions. Like, so I've tried really hard to get people comfortable. I don't like having my photo taken at all. So like,
I'm right there with you.
I feel like I can't relax enough to be seen. Like, when I look at it, I'm like, that's not how I feel.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
I think because of that, I try really hard to make sure I capture like who someone is. Cause me and my partner are getting married. So I'm going to have to I'm going to have my photo taken.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a nightmare to me, but see.
Does your partner shoot at all? Or just kind of... No? Cool.
No, my partner, they do like film work in terms of they went to school for film. And so that's like more so of a hobby of theirs. They're a writer, so it's like... It's kind of the opposite side of things. But I'd love for us to make a book together someday. Because I'm like... I'm a photographer and you're a writer.
It's perfect.
Like, what? We should be doing this. Yeah.
Do like some like crazy concept ideas.
Yeah, I actually have a project I want to do. I should say it on here because I kind of need help.
Throw it out there.
Yeah. So from like a young age, it's kind of weird, but I've always vibed with like the elderly population. Like, I really like people who have life experience. So.
Yeah.
I want to do a, like, elderly queer series.
Oh, cool.
Where I would, like, I mean, I would be down to, like, travel to people, maybe not too far, but take photos of them in their home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And have my partner interview them and just hear, because people have been through so much to get to the point where I can even say like they or them and you understand, right? Like, we've gone through so much to get to the point where these type of conversations are on the table. And we're also at that point where a lot of people who have lived through this like terrible side of it.
Oh my God.
But people who have lived through the hard parts of it are getting really fucking old at this point. And I'm like, I need to get them. Yes. I need to get their photos. I need to get their stories like into a book. And it's been really hard to find these folks. Like I haven't gone full into it yet. And I want to like
a casting call or something.
I probably will go to like community centers and certain things like that. But if anybody that's listening has like a family member, somebody that would really be stoked to share their story, like send me a message, connect me to them. I would be like so excited.
I'm already like picturing this body of work from you, like in my mind I could like see it, so yes, listeners,
yes.
Put the word out,
please. For sure.
So you mentioned you have a studio. Is that something that are you like renting a space, or what's that like?
No,
or is it kind of makeshift still?
No, we have when we moved from Brooklyn to Portland, we now renting a house. It's like a tiny house. It's like one bedroom and like a front room, the room I'm in right now.
Yeah.
But the draw toward it was that the backyard has two sheds. It's almost like one really small one, and then one is like a garage. And it was just filled with our landlord stuff. And so when we moved in, you know, I was like, can we move some of your stuff and put it in the basement? Yeah. She was like, no problem. So we actually planned to do like the little one. I was like, I want to make it a dark room. When my partner was like, I'm going to make a tiki bar. Oh, cool. They're bummed I took over the bar. I just ended up realizing like that the development and scanning part of photography wasn't something that like got me fired up and exciting. And that's okay. Like, for a while I thought I needed to do it because everybody that I like respected was doing it. But yeah, so I wanted to spend more time being creative, and the makeshift studio in our living room wasn't really working. So I cleared out the whole garage, and now it's like a full studio in there.
Cool.
Pretty crazy. Yeah. So I'm just like, come into my backyard.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it more personal too for people, to be in my like space, you know, if I'm comfortable enough, which I am a little bit cautious about that, but you know, we can pick out clothes in my home. They can use my restroom, and then they can come into the studio, and it just feels really personal. I don't know if I'll always want it this way.
I might
want to separate a little bit and get my own studio, but for right now, financially, like also, it's just, it's very good to be doing this.
Has your landlord been back? Have they seen the
No.
They're like, whoa, cool.
Yeah. She's not seen it. So I don't know if she would be happy about it, but
just be like, I'll take your portrait for free. Come on over. It's fine.
You know what? I also feel like once we stop renting and we want to purchase or we want to move somewhere else, like I would send her photos of it, because I think that that's a selling point.
Oh, for sure.
Like, if you told someone that they were going to rent a house with, like,
studio,
a creative space in the backyard, like, I think a lot more people would 100% want to live here.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah. Those are great. Like the first place I lived at when I first moved to the Nashville area it was kind of like a community house. It was this elderly woman. It was such a weird situation. It was an elderly woman that rented to younger men, and we would go get her groceries and like just like weird stuff. You know what I mean?
But
it was great though, because she had this whole other like living room with extra rooms. Like the house was divided into all these kind of little apartment areas, and nobody was renting the one half. And I was like, hey, I do photography, and I was wondering if I could use. She's like, it's yours. And I'm like, do you want me to pay any extra? She's like, $5.
Whoa.
So I turned it into a whole thing, you know, just like you, I like made it into a full studio and was just doing portraits like every day. Everybody was
so
like,
cool.
We got to get over to Tim and get our picture taken before he like blows up and charges us $1 million. And I'm just like, it's never going to be like that. But thank you guys. Thank you.
You never know.
Yeah. But having a creative space like that, like a couple, I mean, it can be a blessing or a curse, you know, it's either there's work 5 minutes from home, or there's work like anytime you want. It could be 3 a.m. and you're like, oh man, let's do this. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty cool to have a space like that by your house or home or room or whatever.
Yeah. It's weird to get used to working like a lot from home. Yeah, yeah, right? You know, you have to like motivate yourself in different ways.
Oh yeah, totally.
I've never experienced that before. I think everybody, I mean, obviously quarantine.
Right.
Like we all had to learn how to self-motivate, which is cool. It's a good skill, you know.
Yeah. I feel like some people are built that way. Like my husband, he's a voiceover actor, and he's like, that's now they like a lot of their recording has happened like it's like via Zoom
like
and
remote,
everything.
Yeah,
remotely. Yeah. Thank you. And he's just like totally cool with that. And I'm like, I gotta go to a coffee shop. I gotta get out of here. I can't be here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Like sometimes I definitely need to like break away.
Yeah.
Even if I just like go on a drive or something.
Yeah.
Man.
I feel like that there's just like so many things I wanted to chat with you about. I mean, your work, like I mentioned before, is so like, I don't know, specific and eclectic. Do you find yourself kind of having to explain that, your style, to your clients, or do they come in already knowing this is the vibe?
Like they get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people have seen my Instagram, I feel like, prior, or my website, and kind of get the vibe. But when people reach out, you know, the first question's always like, what are your rates? Like that's what they want to discuss. And I ask them to get on a video call or a phone call with me, because it's really important that we like start building a relationship fast.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the type of photographer that's like, come sit down and I'll snap your photo while you're sitting here. Like, I want it to be really highly involved. So I'll start that process and talk with them, get to know them a little bit. And then I just let them talk. I'm like, what are you looking for? And I just let them go, go, go. And, you know, when they finish, then I can be like, okay, this is what I do that would fit what you're looking for.
Cool.
And, or I would say like, maybe, I mean, I haven't really said this much at all, but I've said like, I am not what you're looking for, right? If you want, I had someone ask for like 80 images and I was like, listen, I don't even want to be able to create that much content. Right. It wouldn't be my best work if it was. And so I'm not so sure if they knew like the reality of it, right? But so I've had to like walk people through that. And then I always tell them like what you're paying for is that I pull inspiration. We go back and forth.
Right.
Like I'm working before I'm working with you. I currently like most of, except for I think two of my shoots, like I've done all the styling on. I do, like I've set up all the sets. I provide the props. Like it's all me doing it. So, but I like it that way. I'd love to have a team, but I'm just walking them through this. Like I'm like, this is what it looks like, and I can send you 9 photos of inspiration, and I would like for you to say what totally isn't your vibe and what is, and then I'm going to provide you more. Yeah. I've printed out photos of poses and like tape them to the ground in front of the studio. Hey, just in case you feel uncomfortable, like these poses kind of give the energy that you said you like wanted.
Cool. Interesting.
So I'm like really, really involved, and I would rather do less shoots more involved than more shoots just easier, like quick money, I guess. Like I want people, I'm also looking like when I video them or phone call, like how invested are you in this? Like do you just want a few headshots, or are you kind of about this the same way I am? So right now I'm really just focused on, I really only shoot other creative people, which is so cool. Like it just adds the dynamic because they're also, we're like geeking out about
right. You're in the same mindset.
So for the most part, I feel like they're involved, I'm involved, no one's like been way off base the day of the shoot.
And that's cool.
That's really cool, because I mean I've said it 8 trillion times on this show that I'm just not like a paid working photographer. That's never been my shtick, but I do have a lot of great memories of shooting portraits with people. And it was, you know, doing a couple senior portrait shoots, or I did a couple engagement shoots. I even shot a wedding by myself one time, and like just stuff like that. And it's, I wish I would have had this conversation almost. Like, I'm glad this is recorded and going to be out there for people that are trying to break into stuff like that, because things would have gone so smooth if we would have just kind of got to know each other
a little bit.
Just been like, oh man, you're into that too, that's awesome, let's use that. Like plus I was just getting into this stuff, so I was just happy to be doing anything, you know, but we were joking about, I forget what episode it was, about just getting models to pose. To have a cheat sheet on the floor would have been amazing in those times where I'm like, where it's like, oh yeah, you have to tell people to do things. Like, I'm standing with the camera to a person who's not a model,
right,
you know, and I'm like, okay, now I don't know what to tell you to do. Turn your head this way. put your chin down.
If when you have a relationship too, you can be like, oh, this looks like hella awkward, like we gotta switch it up, and they're like, oh okay, instead of being like, oh god, I'm like not doing well, I'm like, no, like this is just like not the vibe you want,
right,
like we just need to like, let's start over. And I talk with people a lot during the shoot, like I said, I have them put on like their own music, and really, I mean, I think music is so comforting, so that helps too.
Yeah, definitely.
But I was so awkward at first. Like, put your right hand on your, you know, like, you're just like, oh gosh, so cringy.
Yep. Oh, man.
So, since you know, film is like a stylistic choice for you, what are some of your favorite film stocks?
You know, like, what I love versus what I use often are actually like kind of different, which is funny. Like, I always use like ColorPlus 200,
I love
ColorPlus. That's my, like, I'm enjoying myself and I'm out shooting cars or just snapping stuff. But for my shoots, like, I was just so, I don't know, it's so scary when someone's paying you and you're shooting film, and you can't be as experimental, I feel like, with the film. So I shoot Portra 400 pretty much exclusively, unless someone requests black and white, or if they're down to like mess with something funky. Like, I did like the, I can't remember what it's called, but the purple
Lomochrome.
Oh yeah.
Lomochrome.
Mm-hmm. On one shoe, because she was like super down, and I was like, and I'm pretty honest, I'm like, these could be, you know, not awesome. I think I only liked like 4 of those photos of the whole roll. So, but it was just, if people are down to experiment with it, I will. But for the most part, I like to be a little bit more reliable, because I feel like film can be so unreliable.
Right.
So yeah, I use Portra 400. I know it's so expensive, but I'm like, these are the shoots that people are also investing money in. So I want to like bring the best I can.
Right.
Cool. Yeah.
I get that though. I can see those colors of the portrait. And just like you said about ColorPlus 200, like as just like a run around having fun film, that film is gorgeous. Like it finally caught on too. I mean, the price went up. Well, price of film just went crazy in the last couple years anyway. Yeah. But like I remember that film, you used to be able to get it for like under $4 sometimes. And now Yeah. Thankfully, I stocked up. I have a bunch of it back there.
I know. I need to get on all these people who have like fridges full of film. Like, I'm so not on that level. Like,
that means you're shooting, which is exactly.
It's actually, I want to get on your level, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I want to be like, oh man, I need to order film. Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I needed to order film.
Oh, that's funny. I never thought of it like that, but yeah. I guess so. It would be good to have like a lot of extras on hand. But I do kind of try to limit. You know, in the beginning, I remember like just blowing through film because I just wasn't sure if I was any good. And so now I do try to limit my shots, and I don't snap it. If I look through and I'm not like stoked on it, I don't really take it.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's really no point.
No,
yeah, I mean, each frame's, you know, important at this point. So
yeah, I love that. So true. How many times I've like lifted up to my eye and been like, nope.
Yeah, that's not good.
not for you. That's not happening.
Yeah, totally.
So funny.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Kate right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
Just wanted to pop in here real quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only develop and hang nights. Now, this is a Patreon-only exclusive. They're a ton of fun. We've done a bunch already. It's just a group of us. We get together, we hang out, we develop film, we talk shop, we laugh. It's just a really good time. And Patreon is the best way to help support the show. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Martin Anderreason. And they ask, since your style is very vintage looking, what would be the best vintage lens/camera? If you can answer that.
Yeah. I feel like there isn't one. I don't think that you can get, I guess, the results that like I go for through picking a certain camera, or picking a certain lens per se. I know that there are like really cool filters that can add to the effect, like prism effects. I think they had like a dream filter I used. I've only used it one time. And it had like an immediate effect. I feel like if you're going for that kind of style more long term, you have to look at every aspect. So, the people that you're shooting, what are they wearing? You know, what's your subject? So if you're shooting, you know, a car, like obviously it's going to look like a bit vintage. If it's an old car, like it just, the lighting that you use or your location can play a really big part of that, but it's kind of a combination of so many things that I think make up a photo that makes you feel nostalgic. I don't think it's any camera necessarily, which it would be so much easier to be because I'm also yeah, I'm also like not gatekeepy. Like if I could tell you like do A, B, C, and G and your photos will look like that, I'm so down to tell you because we all have different eyes. So I'm not like worried someone would imitate me in any way. I'm like, do it. But it's just like really lining up all of those things that kind of creates the whole vibe. Maybe like, you know, you can get a film stock, you know, if you like warmth, obviously you get a warmer film stock. If you are finding that your photographs are coming out like high contrast, you know, lower the contrast. I don't like, there's like little things that you can do to make something not look so current, but definitely not the camera you buy. I don't know if you guys would you guys agree?
No, I feel like I just hear you saying that, and you know, just like you touched on previously when you were saying that you shoot an Icon FM and you have a Boronica too, or Boronica, is that how you say it? Boronica?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody made fun of me then said I said it wrong, so now I'm always like self-conscious every time I say it. But anyway,
I think you're good.
It's a prime example. Like they're asking you how you get your vintage look. With and you're like, man, dude, I just shoot these two cameras and it all comes to style. And you know, if you want a vintage look, you throw like a 70s car in the background with some like, you know, it's
for sure. Yeah, I mean using like a really crisp lens probably wouldn't help with the vintage look. So I guess get a shitty camera.
Yeah.
I don't know. That
get
might
a plastic
help.
Lens.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's so a great funny. Answer.
Yeah, it's a good answer because I think a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in the gear aspect. Like, what's the gear that makes the photo look like this? It's like more, way more than that, you know?
Yeah. Cool. I like creative direction a lot. So that goes into my photography and how people feel and like all those things. So it's probably not like, I don't know. I'm sure there's a bunch of different people that listen to your podcast. I know that a lot of people online have so much knowledge in gear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely lack that. And I don't feel like you have to have it to be successful.
I agree.
Yep. If you're making good work, you're making good work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for that answer. That was a great question.
Yeah.
Of course.
We have obviously more questions for you now. So we have a tough question. This question is, if you could shoot one camera for the rest of your life, you're gone, you got lost on a desert island, what would it be and why?
That's such a boring answer. I mean, the camera I shoot, my Nikon FM, just because like, yeah, it's mine. Like I've shot with it for long enough. It's like all reliable. Like that thing just like, you know, it hasn't done me wrong. It's kind of lightweight, which I've had cameras that are a bit heavier and I like having something lightweight that I can just bring everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's also a brick at the same time. Like I'm not a gentle gal.
Right.
So having something that's like, yeah. And I also love that it's manual in every way. Like I just got my first point and shoot just to have fun. Like I have a camera that, like, you know, I'm reuniting with my friends after quarantine, so I want to have something that's like mindless, but I like that I can control like every aspect of my shot.
What point shoot did you get?
Oh my gosh, I wish I had it here. I don't even know. It's like a Samsung. I got it from Sarah, but she started selling point and shoots. It's called Roll Roulette, and she tests out all them prior, which is impossible if you're getting something off eBay.
Right.
So I didn't even have an interest in any specific camera, but I saw the photos and I was like, whoa, that's just, it looks great, and just bought it. Like, I didn't do any research. Like, I just saw her results and she had a bunch of photos up. So I picked the camera where I was like, oh, that looks great. Like,
I love that name.
Such high quality.
Roll Roulette. That is so cute.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. So part two of this question. Do you want to do it, Timothy? She asked her.
Sure. We call it the white whale. Is there a camera? I mean, we know you're dedicated to the FM. But
we get it, Gabe.
Is there anything out there that you've like always wanted to have and you just hadn't had a chance to shoot or own, or it's the one you're lusting after, the white whale?
I mean, a Hasselblad in general is like, wow, like what? Like, you know, who wouldn't want that camera?
Right.
If money wasn't a thing, right? Like I would have that camera. I also really enjoyed, I think I told you guys earlier, I took that tintype class.
Yeah.
And was so into it. I mean, so many steps go into it in terms of developing and all of that stuff, but yeah, large format definitely like piques my interest. Ooh, I'm not sure when I'll be ready for it, but I think that will eventually become part of my work. Like I would love to do that.
I could totally see those two blending together, your work and large format.
Sure. The social aspect of it seems really cool too. Like you're spending all this time with someone to take like this one image.
Right.
And you know, I see people that get together on like, you know, like other photographers that get together and photograph each other like that. And yeah, it just looks like so much fun and such like a slow process, which I'm like, my brain is like 50 miles per hour. Yeah. So having, you know, like having something that just slows me the fuck down sounds great.
Yeah, that large format, I just recently got into it and I can attest to that. It does slow you down for sure. There's like so many steps and I'm always like, did I do that step? Like, I'm like, open the lens, close the lens, do this, do that. So yeah
it's a mental gymnastic.
Seriously.
But do you like it?
I do, yeah. I'm getting into it. My cousin's in town. She's 21, and I'm like, I should get like a really rad portrait of her, like on
you
the
should.
Yeah.
You should,
yeah,
definitely.
So, before she goes, I have till Tuesday to do it. So,
Triple, I think you're so cool. She's like, wow. Yeah. You're the coolest person I ever
met. That's a camera? What the heck?
Yeah, for sure.
Man, you should use Chris. Use that 50 new 55 film I sent you. Yeah. Take a shot with that. Because you can develop the negative, too.
Yeah, we'll have to like get on so a call before I like... Yeah. Bust that out, because I'm like, I don't want to mess this up.
Oh my god, I can't wait to see. You'll do great. Just like follow your intuition. Yes. I'm sure it'll be great.
I'm inspired now. That's awesome. Cool. Well, Kate, this has been amazing. Like I said, I'm already inspired. You're like this
oh
whole.
Oh my gosh! Just,
like,
thank you.
You've really like at least given me like a different mindset of like how to go about a shoot, which I think is really valuable. Sure. Yeah. So thank you.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. Where can everybody check out all your stuff? Where are you at? Instagram, all that.
I'm only on Instagram, which I'm told that Twitter is a thing I need to get into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I haven't done it yet, so. I feel like I'm not ready for it yet. But Film by Kate _ is my Instagram. My name's spelled a little different, so it's Kait. And then filmbykate.com is my website. That's really all I got.
Amazing.
Sweet.
Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also have some older film photography videos on YouTube you can still watch. Easiest way to find those. Go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. That's going to be it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on all the things, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And we have a Facebook group you can join and share photos and all that stuff. So that's it.
Awesome.
Yay.
Cool.
Kate, this was the best. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So fun.
Awesome. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
First off, Chris and I would like to thank Kate for coming on the show. Kate, it was great getting to talk shop with you and laugh and just have a great time. Your story is very interesting, and we definitely think you're doing amazing work out there, and we can't wait to see what the future holds for you. Thanks, Kate. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For even a buck, you can get the show 2 days early. We release it on Wednesday. You get it on Monday. We also have our develop and hangs. We're going to be doing some other Patreon-only exclusive stuff, and Chris and I are going to be doing solo shows. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. And for the patrons that already help support the show, you guys are amazing, and we do not know what we would do without you. You're literally the best. We love you. And Patreon is the best way to help support the show. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. That's going to be it for this week's episode, guys. We hope you're having a good time. We hope you're out there shooting. And we will see you next week with an all-new episode. Later, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.